You're listening to a Sun Life podcast. We pray that you be blessed by the teaching of God's word. For more information, visit sunlife.org.au. Enjoy the sermon.
Just letting you all know, our mission statement is to bring glory to God by making disciples through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, we pray and we trust and believe that today God will be glorified through the impact, when we hear stories of the impact of the gospel of Jesus Christ on the lives of some Sun Lifers here this morning. So first of all, we've got a little mini cafe set up here. We'd like to invite Simon and Ju up onto the stage. Yes, please give them a round of applause. Oh, wow, we've got some coffee. Great. Look, Simon and Ju have been with us for quite some time in Sun Life, and they really are one of the wonderful stories of our church. And I've only heard vaguely bits and pieces, but you know, when I heard a bit more about the fuller picture, I was really blown away. So I trust that you'll be also encouraged as you hear a bit more about Simon and Ju's story. Well, Simon and Ju, welcome. And we know that you've been coming to the church for a while. How long exactly?
We first came here in 2018, and we have joined the Alpha course. Since then, we have been coming to Sun Life.
Awesome. So a few years now. Ju, I'm aware that you both, well, both yourself and Simon, may not have come from a Christian family, or you know may not have a lot of Christian influence in your upbringing and so on. But I know, Ju, you've come to Christ first. Can you tell us a little bit more about how you came to know the Lord?
Yeah, sure. My older sister is the first Christian in the family, and she definitely had great influence in leading me to Christ. And over the years, she has been faithfully sowing the seed of faith in my heart. And another person was my best friend in high school, who has always been sharing Jesus with me since she became a Christian. Even though I did not receive Jesus then, but the seed has been germinating through the seasons of my life, when God let me experience other religions and also let me go through life challenges, only that I find that He alone is God and the greatest need of my life. And in 2006, I was sent to overseas for a 6-month work assignment, and I encountered Jesus there through a local connect group. Not long after I became Christian, I accepted Christ and came home with a new life in Christ, just a year before we moved to Australia.
Amen. Wow, that's wonderful. Thank you for sharing that. It's encouraging to see how many people were sort of involved behind the scenes, and God used those people to bring you to know Him. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, you also obviously wanted Simon to also know Jesus as well, right? Mm-hmm. So how did you go about that? How did you respond to this whole situation with Simon, still yet to understand what Christian faith is about?
Sure. I'm always thankful that Simon has always let me follow Jesus freely. And for many years, I've been attending church alone and doing a Bible study with some ladies, and have been serving the communities. At first, initially, I felt really lonely with my walk in the Lord. But as I grow in the Lord, I learn to depend on Him more and persevere in faith. So I kept praying for Simon's salvation, and have also asked many others to pray along. So So there were discouraging moments that I see no light in the situation. But thankfully, God always helped me to fix my eyes back on Him and keep trusting Him, remembering His unfailing love and faithfulness. And He is God who hears and answers my prayers in His perfect timing and ways. So praise the Lord. After more than 10 years of waiting, he came to the Lord last year.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Praise God. That's a wonderful story, but that's only your side of the story. Simon, can I hear your side, please? Yes, yeah, so Simon.
My side of the story, my journey. Okay, well, I started going to church indeed for more than 10 years. I started after Jules' cancer treatment, just to show her I support her, I love her. Through the years, I get to know God better, by attending church and through some Christian friends. Also learn many Christian worship songs also. Jules has she has a group of lady Christian friends who show kindness during her cancer treatment. Over time, I also came to know about them and their husbands. In 2018, this lady called Irene, who is also a Sun Lifer. Her husband is Siming. I believe many of you know the couple, very lovely couple. She invited Ju and me to attend the Alpha course at Sun Life. Somehow I just accepted it. Usually I won't. And then through the Alpha course, I came to know some Sun Lifers, including you, Simon. Pastor Bin, Alan, Jason, and others. And after the course, we also became Sun Lifers. From there, I was very comfortable with Sun Lifers around and church friends around. So that's my journey to become a Christian, continue from there.
So what was the turning point for you, you know, in that whole journey after the Alpha course? And
a few points, but somehow it didn't happen. Like after listening to pastor's preaching, you were very close. Sorry, pastor. I didn't. Jules sharing also. Somehow I did not. I guess I needed the final push to get over the line. In 2018, I suggested to Ju that we join a connect group, and Ju was surprised. So the first connect group we joined was led by Alan and Olivia. So through the connect group, I see the meaning of a Christian. To love God, to share and to help each other out of love, to do life, sometimes to do dinner and lunch also. Have I missed anything?
Yeah, very important part.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I can't prepare, but you know, I'm a bit nervous.
That's right.
And in March last year, a few days before my birthday, my connect group threw me a surprise lunch. So I was so moved by their hospitality. So I told myself, why wait? So instead, I give them an even bigger surprise by asking Alan to lead me in prayers to follow Jesus.
Amen.
So even Jew wasn't aware also, of that moment.
That's amazing. Thank you for sharing your whole journey. It has been a journey, hasn't it? It's not like suddenly, whoa, I want to be a Christian, you know. But God has used different circumstances and different people, your wife, our Connect group, the Alpha Course, a few, you know, Pastor Ben's preaching. God used all those things to eventually, just speak to your heart, and now you've acknowledged Jesus as your personal Savior. This is wonderful. So what has Jesus made to your life? What difference has Christ made to your life, do you think?
I guess slowly. So usually I do things in moderation, so it's not a sudden change in me. But I do have the desire to bring people to Christianity. I do have the courage to share Jesus with my mom, who has very strong belief in other religion. So sometimes I see she needs prayer, I'll ask you to pray for her, because I haven't learned how to pray yet.
Awesome. That's great, Simon. And Drew, just one final question. What advice would you give to people? I know many of us would have family members or extended family members who do not yet know the Lord. What advice would you give to us? You know, how do we go about it?
Thanks. I know it is often a rough journey to wait for our loved ones to follow Christ. And like some of you, I'm still waiting for my young adult children to come to know Christ. But thankfully, we have each other in this big family of Christ. So let us encourage one another to abide in God, to seek God, and to do His will faithfully while we wait. So I'd like to encourage everyone with this verse, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 to 18. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Thank you.
Amen. Simon and Drew, thank you so much for sharing your wonderful testimony of your journey. It was very encouraging to all of us. Amen. Oh, we'd like to, first of all, sorry, I forgot, I'm going to invite Ellen up to pray. Let's pray for Simon and Drew. Ellen is their Connect Group leader, and he's been journeying with them all this while, so it's just the right person to...
Shall we pray? Father Lord, we just want to thank you for Drew and Simon. Thank you for touching them through this journey for knowing you. Lord, we just want to give you all the glory. And Lord, for now, we just pray that you continue to help them to grow in you, and help them, Lord, through their testimony, that there many more lives will come to know you. So particularly for their family, for their children, for the mom, Simon's mom, and even for all their friends that they are in contact with, that through their lives, their testimony, that many, many more will come to know you. Lord, we just want to pray a word of blessing upon them. Lord, help them to really be successful in everything that they do, and that they may their desires of their heart be met as they seek you. So Lord, we give you all the glory for this beautiful couple, and all glory to you, in Jesus' name, amen.
Right, well, I would now like to invite a wonderful lady that I've only actually met a few weeks ago, many of us have only met a few weeks ago. Can I invite Anita up onto stage? When I first met Anita, I was really struck. I was very struck by the joy that she had, and she was just so quick to tell me how what Jesus had done for her, and I couldn't resist to invite her to share a powerful testimony of the power of the gospel. Well, Anita, you know, you've only been in the church for a few weeks. How long? Long about
just over a month.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you've settled in very, very quickly into our church. Everybody, you know quite a few people, and
it's like a family.
Yeah,
it is my family.
Amen. Yeah, can you tell us a bit about yourself, so that we can get to know you a bit better?
Okay, I'll give you the very short version. I was actually born in Western Australia. I grew up in Bunbury, And then after completing primary school and high school in Bunbury, moved to Perth and went to the University of Western Australia. Then I became a teacher for a while. Then I moved to Sydney for 8 years, got married and divorced. And then I went to America, and I was in America for 25 years. And I had just come back about a year and a half ago. I spent 17 years in Los Angeles working in films as a script supervisor, and then went to New York for the last 5 years, primarily living in Manhattan. And then pandemic happened. The last 18 months I was there, all locked in, and then I came home to Western Australia.
Right. Well, it sounds like you've lived a very colourful life.
That's a short version.
That's a short version. Yeah, well...
Extremely condensed.
Okay. Yeah. Well, during your time in America, that sounds like a very, very interesting period of your... a defining period of your life. Can you tell us a bit about your journey, especially when it came to seeking after God and so on? I mean, can you tell us a bit about your journey while you're in America?
I mean, it does... Like, when I think back, you know, yes, I have had an extremely exciting life, but a lot of it was I wandered away from God because having grown up in the church, for as long as I can remember, I was Christian, but then something happened. You know, I grew up, I got married, I didn't have a Christian community around me, and it happened slowly. It's not that I ever stopped. Sorry, something happened?
Just have your mic closer to you. Oh. That's better.
Sorry. Something happened. It's not something that you realise. Like, now it blows my mind that I think, how could I have forgotten? But you do. If you don't stay close to Christian community, if you don't speak to God every day, Jesus every day, don't stay close to Him, the world absolutely hypnotises you. And it blows my mind now. But a lot of those times that seemed very exciting and thrilling were actually just so lonely inside, because I wasn't walking with Jesus. I just had myself to depend on, and it's I just can't imagine my life without being close to Christ now. Like, there's just no way I would want to live anymore, because He is my life. Sorry, what was the question again?
Well, just your general journey. I know you were involved in a number of
it's just really difficult. And I remember when I first went to LA 25 years ago and saying to my twin sister, I have one family member left who lives in Queensland, and she's always been a Christian, stayed close. She never wandered away like I did. And I remember saying to her, oh, well, I can't go out. So I had two very long relationships. And the first one I said, my twin sister, well, I can't go out with him. He doesn't believe in God. And remembering, like, how horrifying it was. But then I just, you know, liked him so much, and I thought, well, maybe through me. And as it turns out, yes, he did end up believing. He did believe in God. He was just been trying to be controversial for some reason. That's why we're not together. So I just... It became normal... became normal to be around people who didn't talk about God, who weren't in the church. And so I started to slowly think, well, maybe God is many things. Maybe God is Buddhism, maybe Hinduism. And I thought, well, all the religions in the world are all the same thing, right? And I started to think like that, and it blows my mind. And I just remember meditating for years and years and years, and it's just such a waste because it was just useless. But it never fulfilled me, and I was so, it was like being caught in a maze. when you wander away from God, you get caught in a maze and you become fixated on other things to fulfill you.
Right, so thank you for sharing that. That's your journey into different Hinduism and Buddhism as well, apparently.
Okay, so this is the thing about Buddhism, right? And I thought, well, it's got some good things about it, right? It's so lovely. It's about loving and accepting each other and being mindful and being compassionate and forgiveness. It was those precise things that sucked me in. My mind wasn't thinking, it's pointing away from God. Actually, it denies the existence of God, and it tells you to look within. You can just, deal with life on your own terms. You can be your own kind of saviour. Whatever they call enlightenment. And I wasn't, and now it blows my mind. And I was thinking, wait a minute. And I remember my twin sister crying to me on the phone saying, but Anita, do you realise Buddhism is saying, it's just denying the existence of God, of Jesus, that Jesus died for us? And she was crying. And I said, well, why are you so upset? She said, because I want you sitting beside me in heaven. And I never forgot that. And I remember at the time, I'd moved so far away from God that I thought, oh, poor Margaret, But the sincerity in her voice, and that was God talking to me, it stayed with me. And the moment I came back to God, that was there. It was always there. And now I understand why my twin sister was so sad for a long, long time for me. And she never stopped praying for me, by the way. Yeah, so it was as much as it was exciting time in my life, I look at it now and think, oh, I might as well have just been under a rock. Nothing meant anything. I was away from God. But it's such a stark contrast of then and now. It's still very fresh in my mind.
Amen. So what exactly was the turning point for you? So I know your sister was obviously...
The turning point was being stuck... yes, I was staying with friends that were very wealthy. We were in the Hamptons, and it was lockdown. We were on lockdown for 18 months, and I was fortunate enough to be hired as their in-house teacher to their three kids. They were both doctors. But it was lockdown, and the world was in chaos, and we were the epicentre of, in New York, the epicentre of the pandemic. And I just remember thinking, it's not that I've never stopped believing in God, but I was questioning the existence of Jesus. Not the existence, but that he died on the cross. And I just remember praying to God and saying, okay, God, what is the truth? What is going on? And it was just a general question. What is the truth? And I really intensely prayed and was sincere about this prayer. Well, over 3 days, the answer I got back was, Anita, I'm the truth. There's nothing else you need to know. Like, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And I wasn't expecting to get that answer. And he just was there waiting for me. It wasn't, he never wandered away from me. I had wandered away from God. And so that's what happened.
That's wonderful. And just a final question, just in the interest of time. How has your life changed since knowing Jesus?
How's my life changed? Well, everything has changed. Any beliefs or delusional beliefs I had in Buddhism or the universe, they evaporated. It was like dust. It's not real. The only real thing is God and Jesus. And any searching, any outward searching, I used to, love shopping to the point where it was ridiculous. I have so many handbags and things. I used to find that thrilling. I used to look for new things, always fulfilling things. All of that has just evaporated, And I'm just filled with joy and feeling content inside. It's just the biggest, most beautiful hug I could have got from Jesus. And that, I mean, I'll never walk away from Jesus now, because it really feels like he said to me, Anita, you suffered for many years being away from me, and now that you're back with me, I'm just going to fill you up with so much joy and comfort, and he has. So,
amen. Thank you so much. Amen. Thank you so much, Anita, for sharing your wonderful testimony of how God kept an eye on you. It was, his hand was upon you all that time, even when you were away from him for that long period. So praise God, you came back home, amen. You're back with him now. Thank you so much. And let's give God the glory, and we'd like to worship God and just give him praise for what he's been doing in our lives, as well as the people in the lives of the people we just shared. So I'd like to invite Jordan and the worship team to come and we've got to get Patricia to come and pray for you before we do that.
Father God, just thank you so much, Lord, for your love, Lord, and for bringing back, Lord, Anita into your kingdom, Lord, just like the prodigal son, Lord. Father God, we just thank you and thank you, Lord, for your love, Lord, that draws her back to you yourself, Lord. So, Father God, I pray, Lord, that Lord, you will be her refuge, her rock, Lord. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that, Lord, it's such a joy to see her. And Father God, I pray all goodness and mercy shall always follow her all the days of her life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I get a chance now to interview two Sun Lifers. Very encouraged, very encouraged. Just want to say this is that, God is doing a miracle in all of our lives, and don't be afraid to share and testify the work of God. You know, I'm very sure that you've been encouraged, and I cannot wait to interview the next two Sun Lifers. I want to invite my brother David to come on stage. Give David a round of applause. Good on you, Dave. As you know, David is the new youth director at Sun Life Church, and it's a joy to have him join the staff team. Grab a seat, mate. So, David, you've been quite involved with missions and, I guess, gospel work for the last 12, 13 years or so, and now you're going to be involved in the local church scene, and we're so excited to have you with us. Tell us a bit about some of the work, some of the things that you have been doing, the type of activities you've been involved with.
Yeah, so I was just part of a October discipleship training school run by Youth of the Mission. It's our bread and butter, as you could say. And so recently got to do a trip over to the Middle East, had an amazing time. And just a quick story from my time there, this incredible young man we met in Byblos, you can look it up later. It's mentioned in the Bible. But yes, basically this young man came from a Muslim family but had gone to Christian schools when he was younger. And he'd fallen in love with Jesus but hadn't had a chance really to find Christian community. He hadn't been able to go to really church because of the cultural background he came from, where there was so much pressure and even danger for his life. And so we got to talk with him, encourage him, and after I came back to Perth, just hearing that he's actually messaged me and sent him a photo. It's like, hey, I've started going to church. And I was like, wow. And so just the encouragement that even a simple conversation, just that power of prayer as well to encourage our brothers and sisters where church isn't so easy as what we have here. So that was just really cool to see that guy getting to meet church.
That's awesome, mate. And I'm aware that you do a lot of local mission as well. You're involved with YWAM Perth, and one of the areas that you're involved is youth, and you do a lot of youth camps. And can you tell us about a recent youth camp and what that's involved?
Yeah, so we are, as a Youth of the Mission or YWAM, we run an Aboriginal camp every April. And so for the first time, we finally got to have the full, complete camp. No COVID interruptions, no 4 days instead of five. So we got the full camp experience. We had some wonderful campers. And it was a very different camp. We had a lot of new kids, young 11-year-olds coming even. Normally we'd have the cutoff at 13, but one of these new campers, she's never come before. It was 17 years old. And she, I feel like, had a wonderful time. Of course, we're celebrating Easter at the same time. And we're sharing good news. We're sharing gospel with these kids. And again, after camp finished, something special about after camp, you know, afterwards, we heard from the grapevine that she'd actually decided to get baptized. And so, again, just that, some of these kids coming years after years, and then that discipleship process, and sometimes it seems God expedites it, and it's like, hey, you've come to camp once, all right, let's go, gets baptized. So it's just very exciting to see how God is moving, even those who've come time after time, and those who are just coming their first time.
So you're doing some work with the Indigenous community. Are they quite receptive to the gospel? Can you share a bit about that?
Yeah, so I feel like the Aboriginal people are so incredibly amazing people. They're so aware of the spiritual things. Like during the camp, we actually had two people at all hours of the night up and praying and just looking out for the kids, because a lot of them do struggle with nightmares, and they, whether it's something we would consider real or not, it's not really the point. But the fact is that these kids are well aware of the spiritual world. And so coming into that as understanding, be like, okay, let's work with this. How does God want to move? How does God want to show himself as all-powerful God? So we don't have to prove to them that God exists, but let's show them that there's a God of love, there's a God of power, and there's a God of presence. And so that has just been an incredible time working with the Aboriginal youth in Australia these past 3 years and then now as well.
Yeah, that's awesome. And for what I know of you and YWAM Perth and YWAM in general is that there's such a passion in evangelism, in sharing the gospel. Like, you know, I hear stories of just like cold turkey evangelism, door knocking on the streets of Northbridge. Can you share with us what are some of the, some of the tips, you know, that we as Sun Lifers, as people who are following Jesus, that we can take on board as we try to share our faith to those that we love and those that we want to reach for Jesus?
Yeah, so I want to put this out there, right? With evangelism, it's not our job to convince them that we are right. If we're just talking arguments and we've argued them into the kingdom, it's so easy for someone else to argue them out of it. But when people experience love, true love, that's what gets them to stay. And so they realize that there is a God is a relationship, right? And so when you're talking with someone on the streets, they say that it's about 7-8 conversations before they make that choice. And so whether you're that first conversation, you're that even 12th or whatever, right? It's all about bringing them closer. Like we've heard the messages recently with, I forget who shared the first about the Therefore Go series, that idea of like, just going and sharing. It's meeting them where they're at and sharing love. So maybe for some, it's not about what you say as much as what you do. And so if you've got an opportunity to love someone, go for it. Absolutely. Someone's asking you for money. Maybe you can't give them money. Maybe you can give them food. Maybe you can give them a ride. Maybe you can just sit and listen to their story. So again, it's not about, you know, meeting every single person you meet and being like, hey, you're coming to Christ today. I mean, yes, have that hope and expectation in that sense, but let God do the work. Don't stress if it's like not happening every time, but just meet that person where they're at and show the love of God to them.
Yeah, you're such an encouragement, brother, and I'm very confident we are going to be so blessed with you looking after our youth. It's going to be an exciting season with them, and I'm going to invite Brian, who is part of, you know, your Connect group. He's going to pray for you and just encourage you. So let's close our eyes and let's pray for our brother David right now.
Yes, Lord, we thank you for David. Lord, we thank you for just his willingness to give his life, Lord, to follow you, Lord, and, you know, whatever you call, wherever you send him, Lord, that he's just willing to say, here am I, Lord, send me. And I just want to lift him up to you, Lord, and I thank you for, you know, the many testimonies he shared about, you know, the Middle East and the Indigenous, youth camps and all the people's lives he's touched, Lord. And I also want to pray for, you know, his new role as our youth director, Lord. I just pray he really touches the life of our youth, Lord, and really, you know, show them who you are, Lord, and bring them closer to you, Lord. So I just thank you for this brother, Lord, and just lift up his ministry to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Give David a round of applause. Thank you, David. Gives me great joy now to invite Brendan. Give Brendan a round of applause, yeah. Brendan is one of the young adults leaders at Sun Life Church, and his lovely wife, Emily, sometimes you see her serving and singing on stage. So it's great to have Brendan be with us. Yeah, I think Brendan and I are the only one who's been drinking the coffee. Yeah, so good. Hey, Brendan, you know, I'm aware as a young person, a young adult, good-looking young adult, you know, we face a lot of challenges today, all right? Can you share a time when you face some challenges and you were seeking our great God for help?
Yes, for sure. I think all of us Christians have a story to tell. So this is just a part of my story. As you're aware, I'm married to Emily, and beautiful Emily. And we got married 2 years ago, almost. You were there, Pastor Ben.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I did your wedding, forgot.
So that was in a time, though, where I was still studying uni. So we were getting married where I still had 2 years left, and Emily had just bought a house. So financially, we were struck quite thin. We were just going out and doing what we thought was right in God's eyes, and but that was leaving quite a lot of room for God to work in our lives, because there was a lot of things that we weren't sure of how they were going to work out, where money would be. So when we first got married, Emily was having to work a couple of part-time jobs while I was finishing my studies. As part of my engineering degree, I had to find work experience too, and it's quite competitive at uni to find that work experience, particularly for engineering, when you're sort of struck for time. Only during the summer can you really find that work. So every sort of year, everyone sort of goes and applies for as many jobs as you can find. And I hadn't really found any throughout my time at uni. So with the years sort of shrinking and the time to find it, that was definitely a worry of mine, of how I can transition from uni to work to help my new family and support Emily. And that was sort of that's the context.
So how did you respond, like, to the disappointments, the setback, you know, trying to find a work experience, trying to get your foot in the door, and just one rejection after next? How did you respond, and how did God intervene?
I think it's been said before that community is so vital as a Christian to not be discouraged, that we find encouragement in God and also His people. So in my journey as a married man, I think in that year that we got married, that summer, I applied for work like I usually did. And for that, I think that was the very first interview that I received for a work experience position. But then a few weeks before, I cut my hand. Remember the scar in my hand? So that meant that I rocked up to the interview, tried to look my best, suit and tie and all, but I had my forearm in a cast, which meant that as soon as they saw it, I was no longer able to go in the running for the job. So I got struck down and was, again, like another year sort of went by and I couldn't find work experience. Come to just last year, again, Emily's part-time work, she had to switch roles a little bit as one job closed down. And throughout this time, you know, we're a part of the young adults here and in a CG, and now we're leading CGs. And so there's a lot of friends and family praying for us, particularly for our finances. And so, yeah, one thing that sort of was unexpected, and I think you can probably see how God is at work in my life. I had a mate that I like to play soccer on the weekend with, and he was just messaging me out of the blue at the beginning of last year, saying how his workplace were looking for a graduate role to fill and how he thought I might be able to fill it. And I was thinking to myself, oh, it's a graduate role, I'm just an undergrad. I can't really fill that role, that's another dead end, right? So I sort of was like, yeah, thanks for thinking of me and letting me know, but I'm not quite there yet. And so anyway, I kept on going, finished in my final year of uni with thesis and all. Again, mid-year, I started working casual again just to help Emily. And then again, the job applications came around for my final summer to look for something before graduation. But this time, instead of just one interview, God gave me two interviews. So in the end, I ended up applying still just because my friend kept heckling me. Every now and again, he'd be like, hey, Brendan, where's your resume? So I received an interview for that job and then another interview for down south working during the summer. There was a point in that time where I had to make a decision about which one I wanted to pursue more than the other. And if I had gone the other way, it would have meant time away from Emily, and it would have meant time away from family. So God's been moving tremendously through that time, answering prayer. So inevitably, I was given that grad role. I was able to very quickly transition from uni studying into that role. I this is how the timeline went. I finished uni, my last exam was on a Thursday, then I walked into the office on Monday and started full-time work, and all the privileges that full-time work grant you. That has meant that I've been able to transition a lot of the financial responsibilities onto me, giving Emily more time to serve here at church and also to care for family. And now that we're in a more stable financial position, with being able to serve more as CG leaders, and also, you know, another story is that our oven broke last Christmas, just before Christmas, so we had to buy a new oven, and the new job was able to support us with that. And now we're thinking, we can go to the United States to see Emily's family, which she hasn't seen for over a decade. You know, we weren't able to have them over for our wedding, so it's the first time I get to meet them in person. And so, yeah, that's fantastic to be able to do that with her. And it's all by God's grace.
Yeah. You know, I'm just, give him a round of applause, yeah. I'm just so encouraged that sometimes in life there's situations where, God just helps us grow in our faith and our trust and our dependence upon Him. So as Christians, when we see an obstacle, challenges, don't go, world to me, oh, how unlucky am I. But see it as an opportunity for us to trust God, to grow in areas that we would not probably grow in unless the situation is there. I want to invite Jordan to come and pray for you. I just want to, for you and Emily. And we are so grateful that, you guys are just loving the Lord and serving here. And can we just pray for Brendan right now?
I heard some prayer. Father God, we thank you indeed for the work that you're doing in Brendan and Emily's life. God, in times of trial, it can be so difficult. It can be so easy to run to other things for comfort. But Lord, I thank you that Brendan and Emily have you. They have a relationship with you. God, and I thank you for the perseverance and the strength that you've given them. I thank you for growing their faith during this season to trust in you continually despite the many setbacks. And God, I pray that, we too would run with perseverance to the race marked out for us, Lord. that we would depend upon you all our days, and that Brendan and Emily will continue to depend upon you, that they would look back at the past season, they would give thanks and continue to place their trust in you for future circumstances. But we thank you for the blessing of finances, the blessing of a job, and despite all odds, you know, for it to be a graduate position when he didn't even have you know, the proper work experience, God, we thank you that you made a way for him to find a job. We give you all the praise, all the glory, and yeah, we just pray that, yeah, that Brendan and Emily, their marriage will continue to exalt you, to glorify you in the way that they live. So we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Give Brendan a round of applause. Great. I just thought we'll wrap up the service with just a few things on my heart, and then I'll pray for you, and then, you know, God bless you as you get out there and reach and love people. One of the things that you've probably heard throughout the whole testimony is this, is that following Jesus is not easy. It's never meant to be easy. It's a narrow path. It's denying yourself and taking up that cross daily. But we have each other. That's why it's important to be in a small group. It's important to find people where you can say, hey, can you pray with me? Can you help me in this season? And that's what I have always tried to pursue at Sun Life Church here, is for us to be real, for us to be raw, for us to be in community. I say this all the time, if you're not in community at Sun Life Church, I would pray and love for you to be in community. There is a connect group for you. Brendan and Emily, who are now leading connect groups, they are leading a great young adults connect group. Jordan is leading a connect group. There's so many connect groups. Find a connect group, and I guarantee you, you'll find life, you'll find community, you'll find people to help your journey. Don't just come here on a Sunday and then go. Find people to encourage you. And the second thing is this, is that if you want to know more of Jesus, then this Wednesday here is Alpha. We want you to come, okay? Just come along and just grab some food and enjoy the presentation and ask questions. If you are already following Jesus, but you want to know more and see Alpha as a great opportunity, as a refresher, just to consolidate the one you're following, Alpha is also for you. So it's this Wednesday. Make sure you come along. We're catering for what? 40, 50 people around there? Yeah. Yeah, so please just come and be part of Alpha this time around. And finally, as I always say, this Sun Life Church, we are on mission. So let me pray for you as you go out there and love people and reach people and believe that God will use you this week to be His hands and feet. So may I pray for us all. Father, thank you so much for this day that we can just encourage each other with the amazing stories of transformation that you're doing in us and through us, Lord, in this community. Thank you so much for Drew and Simon, for Anita, for David and Brendan to have the courage to come up here and share their stories. And I'm very sure that we've all been blessed, all been encouraged with the amazing testimonies, Lord. Would you bless them, God? Would you bless us? Would you give us spiritual eyes to see you at work in our lives, God? And may we have the courage and confidence to share and testify of your amazing work. So Lord, will you continue to smile upon this community as we go out there this week to love people, to be the salt, to be light in the community that you have placed us in, Lord. We thank you so much that we get to do this, and we look forward in coming back here again next week and just to worship you, to be encouraged again through the gospel. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sun Life Church. Thank you for being with us. God bless you. If you need prayer, if you need ministry, there'll be some leaders at the front. Otherwise...